Evadulia Orta keeps a binder full of Pokemon cards in her room. It belonged to her son.
He loved Pokemon.
She flips through the binder's plastic sleeves and pulls out one of his favorite cards, a purple mystical bird in flight. The binder's entire contents are precious to her.
I can hold it and see it, what he was looking at, what he was into.
Orta's 10-year-old son, Rogelio Torres, often brought this Pokemon collection to his school, Robb Elementary in Uvalde, Texas, to trade cards with his classmates. And he had it with him on May 24th, 2022, when a gunman entered the school carrying a semi-automatic assault rifle and killed 19 children and two teachers.
This was the last thing that he had with him at school in his backpack, so this one stays with me.
Rogelio was among the 19 students killed during the shooting.
Because I can't hold him no more. I can't talk to him anymore. These make me get closer to him more now. And for my kids, that's what they hold on to, his memories.
Today marks exactly a year since Orta's life was turned upside down. Exactly a year since the whole town's lives have been changed. Lives cut short, sense of security stolen, childhoods taken away. For Orta and others whose children or spouse or cousin, sibling did not come home from school a year ago, they're determined to keep the memories of their loved ones alive. From now sacred items to artwork and activism, they're making sure those 21 lives are not forgotten. This is The Brief from the Texas Tribune. I'm Stephanie Wolf. At Evadulia Orta's home, Rogelio's room has become a place of solace for the family. She says her two youngest and her eldest come into Rogelio's room at some point every morning.
I don't know when they come to the room, but they do, and they sit, probably sit down on the floor to talk to him.
A bookshelf is packed with stuffed animals. A Care Bear, a plush pig, what looks like a fox. Squeezed in between some of the plushies are a toy car and plane. A small American flag hangs off the side of a higher shelf. Orta wants to keep it filled with the things Rogelio loved.
My oldest, now she gets Pokemon cards, and she's like, Mom, I want to buy Pokemon cards. And if she finds one that he likes, she'll put it in his room and leave it there for him. And my son, too. So he has Pokemons that people wrote on for him. Mm-hmm. They put in a book for me.
The family's new puppy, Rufus, whimpers in the background. Orta's children wanted to give the dog a name starting with R, in remembrance of Rogelio. After the shooting, Orta and her family received lots of artwork, drawings and paintings, memorializing Rogelio and the other children who died in the shooting.
Though if there are drawings of him, I always hang them on the wall. If I don't have room here, I put it somewhere else in the house. It's like that painting that they gave me too, and I put it there, of the angel.
Orta points to a small square painting hanging in the hallway just outside of the room. Its backdrop is sky blue. Rogelio, painted as an angel, soars through a patch of clouds, with his limbs stretched long, almost like a superhero stance. The town plaza still has bouquets of flowers and crosses, 21 of them, one for each student and the teachers who died. There's also murals, painted as a memorial to each of the victims. The organizer of the mural project told the Texas Tribune that they had to be portraits so that the people would never forget the victims' faces. Rogelio's is near the plaza, on the side of a security finance building. He's painted in a red shirt and jacket, surrounded by his favorite Pokemon characters. At the other side of the mural is an image of a football player sprinting, carrying a ball. The phrase, the life of the party, is painted below the athlete. Orta says, on the days her kids are missing Rogelio the most, They all do an activity that he loved, like football. Or they go to the cemetery and sit by his gravesite to be close with him and talk to him. Other families have told reporters they also find comfort in visiting their loved ones' graves. Some spend holidays there, so they can be together. Orta hopes people remember Rahelio as happy.
He was loving, caring. To remember him, that he loved playing football.
She held on to one of his favorite footballs, one that he used when he played with his siblings. Like the binder of Pokemon cards, the football is a comfort to her family.
He wanted to be in the Navy when he grew up, and he wanted to build his own house, so that's what he said. I'm going to build my own house, Mom.
Another way families and friends are remembering loved ones lost last May is activism. Many of them have been invited to speak at local and national rallies and events supporting the tightening of gun regulations. And this legislative session, many family members traveled to the Texas Capitol in Austin, joined by gun reform advocates and families of other mass shooting victims, with a very clear message for state lawmakers. They showed up in support of House Bill 2744. The proposal would have raised the minimum age to buy a semi-automatic weapon from 18 to 21, with certain exceptions. In mid-April, families waited more than 13 hours to testify before a state House committee.
My name is Kimberly Rubio. I am the mother of Lexi Rubio, the victim of the Robb Elementary shooting in Uvalde. This is my husband, Felix, and Lexi's father.
Kimberly Mata Rubio was the first of the families to take the microphone.
Standing before you today, I wonder if on May 24th, you watched coverage of Uvalde unfold and wondered what you could have done to prevent this tragedy. Did you look at images of children running for their lives and think, what if we had enacted stricter gun laws? Did you consider the children still inside? Those like our daughter, who would never emerge? Did you imagine what it would feel like to bury your child? Sit with that image as we do.
According to Lexi's obituary, the fourth grader was smart, athletic, driven, and fun to be around. She had dreams of earning a softball scholarship to St. Mary's University in San Antonio. Lexi wanted to major in math, then go to law school and become an attorney. She also loved basketball and talking on the phone with her friends. Angel Garza also went to the Capitol to speak about his stepdaughter.
We're here today because our 10-year-old daughter, Amory Jo Garza, was shot and killed by an assault rifle.
Amory's favorite color was purple. She was an honor roll student. Her family has described her as kind, but also brazen. A tiny diva with goodness in her heart. A good friend who stood up for others. She had aspirations of becoming an art teacher.
After dropping off Amory that morning, I had no idea that "I love you, Daddy" would be the last words I would ever hear come out of her little mouth. No idea that I would get her sunflower backpack back with bullet holes in it.
Amory had turned 10 just 2 weeks prior to the shooting.
My baby girl was full of life and love.
Javier Casares's 9-year-old daughter, Jackie, never learned how to ride a bike.
Never made it to the fifth grade. Will never experience her 15th birthday, prom, graduation from high school, college, and becoming a vet, visiting Paris, or even falling in love.
Jackie had a love for singing and the color sage green. Her family remembers her as a free spirit, someone who always wanted to help others. Democratic Representative Tracy King represents Uvalde. His children attended Robb Elementary in years prior to the shooting, and he filed the Raise the Age bill. He also spoke during that overnight April hearing, telling his colleagues that he supports the Second Amendment, owns a gun himself. In his concluding statement, King read aloud the names of all 21 people killed that day in Uvalde. He said he wanted to do something to honor them all.
Miss Garcia, Miss Morales, Alethea
Ramirez,
Amory
Jo Garza, Annabelle Guadalupe Rodriguez, Eliana Torres, Ellie Amaya Garcia, Jackie Casares, Jayla Nicole Silguero, Jace Carmelo Luevanos, Jose Manuel Flores Jr., Leila Salazar, Alexandria Anaya Rubio, Maite Juliana Rodriguez, McKenna Lee Alrod, Miranda Matis, Nevea Bravo, Rogelio Torres, Tess Marie Mata, Usaya Garcia, Xavier Lopez.
Today's episode of The Brief from the Texas Tribune featured reporting from Janit Sahil Hernandez and Fabiana Chaparro, editing by Justin Dane, Laura Garcia, and Darla Cameron. The audio testimony you heard is from the Texas Legislature Online. And I'm Stephanie Wolf. Today's brief is brought to you by Methodist Healthcare Ministries of South Texas. Methodist Healthcare Ministries is committed to health equity, striving to create more fair and just opportunities for all to thrive. Learn more at mhn.org. And find more of our special coverage at texastribune.org. Thanks for listening.